On this episode of the InsurTech Geek podcast, we're talking about leading the Israeli InsurTech ecosystem through crisis with Kobi Bindelak from InsurTech Israel. The InsurTech Geek podcast is all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. We'll be interviewing guests and doing deep dives into specific tech we see changing the industry. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech, so enjoy the ride and geek out. This episode of the InsurTech Geek podcast is brought to you by Terra. Visit terra.insure to discover how Terra is changing insurance claims and policy management. And we are back with another episode of the InsurTech Geek podcast. Got my illustrious co-host, another fellow Texan, Rob Galbraith. How's it going, Rob?
Going well, James. Going well. Spring has arrived early here, so I've been doing a lot of prep work in the yard and enjoying the temps in the 80s before it gets to the hundreds.
Yes, it did arrive early, and I thoroughly enjoyed being outdoors for the weekend, and quasi early summer warmth in February, which I'm sure we'll have some more cold spells between now and then, but was super nice. So good to see you, Robin, with us from Israel, Kobi Bindelak. Kobi, how's it going?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me in this great episode, and looking forward.
Absolutely. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm from my home office near Tel Aviv. As you know, it's almost night, almost midnight here in Israel. So,
well, thanks for staying up late with us to record this episode. It's good to see you. Good to have you on the show. Let's jump straight in and introduce our listeners. If they haven't already listened to you, we'll do a kind of a reintroduction. I'm assuming you were born and raised in Israel because you went to Bar-Ilan University there. So tell me, like, what city did you grow up in, and what did you dream of being when you were a kid?
Of course, not to be in the insurance and the insurtech industry. Yeah, actually, I wanted to be a pilot. This is my dreams when I was a kid in the yard, to be a pilot in the army. But it wouldn't happen, but something else happens during the time. So I had a great adventure in the army, but we will speak about it later.
Okay, great. And then what'd you go to school to study?
So biology.
All right. So then where did that lead you after college? Like what path led you into insurance?
Yeah, so actually it's a different style here in Israel than in the US. So after I graduated high school, I went to the army. I've been in the army for a long time. I'm a colonel in the Israeli army, so I didn't be able to be in the college when I was young. I finished my studies in the university just when I've been 40 years old. I had 2 degrees, so I learned for five years during my work time and my service in the army. So it's not to be in the college and then in the army and then in the insurance industry.
Were you a reserve officer, or were you active duty that whole time?
No, part of the time. 10 years I've been in the full service. I made a full service in the army and then in the reserve.
Yeah. So what, 19, that'd be 19 years in the reserves and 10 years active. Yeah. So, you got started, it looks like, Reshef was that your launch into insurance? Yes. Tell me how you got into that.
That's the company that I opened, right after I finished my army service. It was a MGA, when I finished the service, I opened it, and it took me a while, and it's become one of the biggest MGA here in Israel. In 2004, I sold 50% from the company to Generali Group. I had a big success, and I sold 50%. And since then, until 2015, my company was subsidiary company of Generali Group.
So what led you to start an MGA straight out of the army? Like there has to be a story randomly picked that.
So when I've been in the army, one time, one of my soldiers asked me to, I called him to a duty. Well, he's a reserve soldier, and I called him for a duty, and he sent me the letter that he couldn't arrive to the service because he's learning to be insurance agent. And he sent me all the agenda, all the end of his studies, and I read it. It looks for me interesting, but I left it somewhere on the desk. Of course, I let him not to arrive to that service on that time. Anyway, when I decided to stop my service in the army, you know, on that times you look for a job by opening the newspaper and look for opening jobs for you, opportunity for you. So I opened the newspaper and saw a lot of commercial about insurance, and I said, so I said, wow, this is looks familiar for me. Maybe I would try it. It looks something that I can do. So I just started to learn to be an insurance guy, just in case, just you know, and it's happened. One lead for other things. So it's that's the story of my life.
That's great. And after Reshef, you ended up joining kind of a different community of startup ecosystems. You were, Startup Bootcamp and InsurTech London, then Lloyd's Lab Innovators, then, you know, Global InsurTech Alliance. Like what led you in down to the startup InsurTech road?
Yes, that's a great question. So the story is that when I sold my company, one day I got a quote to sold all my shares in the company. It came suddenly, nothing planned. And one day I just got a quote. I couldn't refuse the quote. And I said yes, and I went to retire. 45 years old, a retired person. It took me a while, 5 months, to realize that it's very boring to be retired. And I look for new adventures. So I decided to open my heart, and I said to myself, open your heart, good things will happen to you. And this is what I did. I opened my heart, and one day I received an email that written the subject, InsurTech Meetup. You know, I insurance agent don't know what is a meetups. But InsurTech looks for me something very interesting, and that was very boring. So I went there, and it was an amazing situation because people stand on the stage and speaking about the insurance industry, how they're going to disrupt it, and how are they going to change it. And I said to myself, this is my new adventure. And I decided to open InsurTech Israel. So this is the story how InsurTech Israel established by any case or something like that on my journey somehow. And since then, InsurTech Israel become the leader of the Israeli InsurTech ecosystem.
That's great. Well, it's good to see it evolve that way, right? I mean, you saw an interest, had an interest, had a passion, and brought that passion. And plus, of course, your decades of experience into insurance. You know, there's always two interesting questions. Israel's a tiny, tiny country, right? I mean, tiny country. It's the size of New Jersey functionally. And so it's a very small country, but they have a huge technology and startup scene and a really nice insurtech scene. What led to this small country in the Middle East being such a leader in technology and startups?
I think the answer for that is based on culture. But just before that, I must say that the infrastructure to be entrepreneur in Israel is great. So it's easier to be entrepreneur here in Israel than other places. So what's helped Israel to be a startup nation is first is the culture, as I mentioned. The Israeli have entrepreneur and character, and we are independent people. We know how to solve problems and how to achieve goals. So this is the character, first is the character and the culture. The second thing, as I said, is the infrastructure. The third thing is the army. Young people join the army in a very early stage, lead great technology improvement in the army, in the army technology units and the intelligence units. And then when we finish the service, we arrive to the civil industry and implement what we learn in the army to the civil industry. So it's the army. I think and of course the education, the university here in Israel are very good universities. So all that lead Israel to be a startup nation. For your question about the InsurTech side, it's a very interesting angle, because what I'm thinking that the InsurTech, first of all, is not technology. It's mainly more solving problems, big problems with great ideas, and then implement technology. And this is what, as I said, this is what the Israeli are very good at. So because of that, the Israeli are very good and very advanced in the insurtech space. Of course, to build a good ecosystem, you need to have a great success stories to attract the entrepreneurs to join. So we have a great success story like Lemonade and Hippo and Next Insurance and Sapiens and Ernix and a lot of great and big insurtech startup that started here in Israel. So all that all together made Israel as one of the insurtech capital of the world.
Yeah. But before I hand it off to actually, I'll go ahead and let Rob take it from here. Rob.
Yeah, Kobe, it's great to have you back on. So just for those, so you were on a previous episode, so I highly encourage our audience, our viewers and listeners to check out the original episode that we had with you. And obviously we want to get an update, but before I do that, I just wanted you to kind of share with our audience, you know, what is InsurTech Israel exactly, and how do you help enable the startup ecosystem in Israel?
Thank you. So InsurTech Israel leading the Israeli ecosystem. We have here almost 200 InsurTech startups based in Tel Aviv. We support the ecosystem with four pillars. The first one is investment. We invest money in the startup. The second one is biz dev activities. We assist the startup, the entrepreneur, to sharpen the product, fit it to the insurance world, and open them a lot of doors around the world. The third pillar is the media division that we are producing and operate roadshows and delegations to all over the world to assist our startup to engage with potential clients, insurance people, and investors. As you know, and I'm sure the audience know that insurance builds on trust. And you cannot build trust by speaking with someone by phone or by LinkedIn or by Zoom. You must meet people and look to the eyes for each other. So because based on that, we're operating a lot of opportunity to our startup to engage. And our last pillar is the accelerator, the Israel InsurTech Accelerator that became one of the leader and the best accelerator program in the world. I've been chosen for being that last year. We operate until today, we operated 6 cohorts. So we are really experienced and we are, our startup are very, very successful. They raised more than $150 million in the last 18 months and signed on more than 40 agreements. We are doing great jobs around the world. Our business partners are some of the leaders in insurance company and technology company in the world, like AIG and IAG from Australia, Sompo from Japan, AF Group from US, Aon, Lloyd's of London. Of course, our great partners, in Broker Tech Ventures. And from the technology side, we are part of our business partner are Dell Technology and Microsoft and Sapiens and Milliman and Research Pro and some insurance, local insurance company like Migdal and Direct Insurance. So we have 21 business partners, and all together we are operating here the flourishing InsurTech ecosystem.
Yeah, and Kobe, obviously, let's address the elephant in the room, as we say over here. You're in the middle of a war, really not just on one border. You've got to defend yourself as usual to threats that are surrounding the country. You're a longtime service member of the Israeli Defense Force. You know, with a decade of active service and almost 20 years of reserve service, you certainly are acutely aware of the challenges the IDF faces. October was a terrible month in Israel's history, and truly awful things happened that day and continue to happen. You know, when you have thousands of missiles being lobbed at your country, I believe those are still going on. You know, how does this impact the business and innovation community when you've got such a ferocious, battle and you've got such a horrifying event that occurs on that day? I mean, what's the mentality change, and what's the impact on the people in Israel?
So first, let me just say that in Israel, the life became almost as usual. I mean from the business perspective. So schools are open, offices, factories, malls, cinemas, restaurants, almost in the majority of Israel, just, you know. So the business life became something like as usual, like we used to have. But from the feeling perspective, the vibe here is very, very sad. It's not the Israeli style, it's not the Israeli culture to be sad. So it's very challenging time from the feeling. Our brothers and sisters are still hostages in Gaza Strip. Our brothers and sisters still fighting in Gaza Strip, and we are suffering from some attacks. But the life become, as I said, as usual. We wake up in that Black Saturday, like the majority of the people in Israel, and I think majority of people in the world, they're very surprised by this attack, this terrible attack, and just terrible things. And we've been in a shock for a few days. We must say that, to be honest. And we, the people, the army, everyone here was really shocked about that situation. But Israel is a very strong nation, and the people are really strong here. So it's took us a few days to recover. And since then, we took the initiative for our side. So from the army side, We are leading now the attacks and the war. As you said, James, in a few borders, not just one border, but we control the situation here in Israel from the army side. And as I said, in the business side. So very often and very not over very soon. After the Black Saturday, I think it took us 1 week, we wake up in the morning and we decided that we cannot let that situation to destroy what we have built here for a few years, this great ecosystem. So we decided to operate and even accelerate our activity around the world and say to the world that we are strong, stable, and resilient, and we care about our customers, clients, and partners. And we did that by traveling to the US and to other regions. I speak all over to say to them, we are here, we are stable, and we care, and we will keep going with our innovation and ideas and solutions. And I think it's made it happen, because since then, we come back to act as we used to act in the past.
And I do have a follow-up, because not only is the country under pressure, but I mean, let's be honest, you, again, another elephant in the room, or maybe the hippo in the room. You reference Hippo and Lemonade as InsurTech successes, but they're both down over 90% in stock value from their 5-year high. I mean, if you look at that Lemonade, you know, they peaked at $144 a share. They're currently $163 a share, sorry, and they're trading at $19 a share. So they're down about 90% in value as a company, and they've demonstrated a remarkable challenge in turning a profit. Their loss ratios are still really far from optimal. They're losing a lot of money. And Hippo, you know, from a stock price perspective, its 5-year peak was $351 a share, currently trading at 12, which puts it at an over 95% decline in value. How do you reconcile the initial excitement and success with the reality that the public markets are absolutely pummeling these two stock prices for not being able to make money?
Thank you for asking this question, because it will assist me to show two things. First, that We already become to life as usual, because people ask us usual questions. And the second, I will explain what I think about that situation. So first, I think the situation, what's happened to Lemonade and Hippo, and they explain that better than me, but can explain it better than me, but it's the valuation that they got from the market. The valuation was very high, too high, because the people, the investors, looks at Hippo and Lemonade as a technology startup. not like insurance company. It took them a while to understand and realize that this initiative is very nice. It's digitized. It's fun. It's fantastic. It's great. But in the end, it's insurance company. And you need to look at the papers, look at the balance sheet like insurance companies. And then when they realize that, the share decreased. That's the reason that it was so high fail for them. So it's the problem is not, it's of course Lemonade and Hippo. They're not running without any blame, but the blame is belong more to the investor that valued them higher than they needed to value it. And now they claim again, especially Lemonade and the others. And they claim again, and they are going to arrive to the right stage that they need to be right now. So I believe in that company and in the other issue techs, not just from the Israeli ecosystem, that will show us that the insure tech industry is alive and kicking and very good and very important.
Yeah, so your assertion is that they're appropriately valued now and were hypervalued when they IPO'd. But of course, they played a pretty heavy role in pumping that valuation on IPO. But you know, to really actualize the money because of their lockout periods, they had to keep that value high for a period of time. So it's really, really interesting. I think, you know, we're starting to see that, you know, the laws of gravity apply to all companies in insurance. You've got to make money. You got to generate a profit. They're novel insurance companies. But they still have to be graded as insurance companies, not as other types. Rob?
Yeah, Kobe. So I'm kind of curious. We talked a little bit about some of the challenges just the insurance tech sector in general has had, right? With the end of the zero interest rate environment, this focus on profitability as opposed to growth, right? We've seen funding decreases. Maybe it's starting to tick back up again. But so it's definitely been a challenging economic environment. Plus, we've got this additional challenges that are unique to Israel with the war, right? And kind of the socio-political challenges as well as economic challenges. So just curious from your perspective, what are some of those challenges? How are you navigating that at InsurTech Israel? And kind of what's your, as you're going on these roadshows, you know, what are you telling partners and prospective partners of concerns that they might have to help assure them that, you know, things are still very, very healthy in terms of InsurTech in Israel?
Okay, so first you really right. We're suffering from some challenges, but that challenges were even in the past. So it's not something new for us. So the big problem, the big barrier for our ecosystem right now is, I think, something around, it's the survey that we made, something around 25% for our startups are still in raising money right now. Okay, and those that it's regular, it's almost all the time 25% from our startups find themselves in the process or are going to be in the process for raising money. But the situation right now to raise money in Israel, it's a little bit complicated. Oh, especially for early stage startups. So the startup, the stable ones, keep raise money as usual. Just a few days ago, it didn't announce that, so I cannot say names, but one of our great startups raised a lot of money in valuation, very high valuation. In the last 2 months, during the war, for startup, it's published, so we can speak about them, raised a lot of money, like Digital Owl and El Doctor and others. So it's a great opportunity for our startup to still grow. But as you said, and you're right, the big problem, the big barrier now right now is for the early stage startups, because they're based until today, and like always, on angels. And the angels right now in Israel are not so willing to spend money or invest money in very high valuation or risk. So for that, we have built for the startup, and they say the coroner in Israel support that, a fund that they can raise money for the fund, to cover the gap that they're having right now in between the last fundraising to the next one. So I think the majority of the startup here in Israel, the early stage startup, will still going forward for the next, let's say, next year, until they will the situation here in Israel will be better. So the majority, the main problem is the early stage, the government and us support these startups, keep going with that, so the ecosystem are stable. One more thing to say to the entire world, the entire insurance world, that we present to all over that we are keep going with our ecosystem and with our innovation. We arrived just two weeks ago from Switzerland and from Germany with a roadshow that we operate there. We met great insurance company like Allianz and Swiss Re and Zurich and Helvetia and Provincial and other insurance company, and we spoke with them about the situation in Israel. We present them what we are doing. We present them the idea, the technology that we are building here, and it was great. So, and we are going to do that next week in US. As you know, we are going to be in Chicago and in the Columbus, Ohio, and in Des Moines, Iowa, to speak with our clients, to speak with our with the insurance industry and the insurance ecosystem in the Midwest, and to present them that we are still stable, strong, and resilient. It's very important to empathize that all over the world.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, times of crisis can actually be an excellent time to start a business. I mean, I started my business right within a couple of months of 9/11 happening. And right after the dot-com collapse is when I actually started. Now, I bootstrapped from a few thousand bucks in my dorm room, but, you know, I didn't raise money, but it still was a great time to enter the market because there was a shakeout and there was less competition. And so I had a really, you know, it was a really interesting time to start a business. I mean, it really was. You know, there's a lot of opportunity that shows up. Like right now, you know, there's opportunities with some companies stepping out of the market. They can't survive. They can't stay around. Some larger players in insurance technology, for example, Ebix just declared bankruptcy, and they're in a really interesting situation. And that's they're a major player in insurance tech in some levels. And so you have some opportunities now to step into gaps that those players are leaving in the market. So I think it's a good time. Now, are you going to get an $8 million pre-money valuation before you even start developing your product? Probably not. You probably shouldn't. You probably shouldn't have before either, I would argue. But you know, that's the reality, is that there's a little bit more right sizing of valuations right now. I think, you know, startup incubation is really hard, Kobe, and I'd be interested to know just kind of your top three things that you think you have to bring together to do what you're doing, and because ecosystem building is super difficult. You know, because it's so easy to break it apart. People are so fickle sometimes. And so it can be really challenging to pull off what you're trying to pull off in Israel. I'd just be interested in knowing your top three things that you think to build an ecosystem. If somebody wanted to do what you're doing, but in another country, in another continent, what do you think the top three things they can do are?
I think the ecosystem, every ecosystem in the world have different challenges. So I look for what is the challenges for my startup, to the Israel InsurTech startups. And what I found is that's the first thing, most important thing for a startup is connection abroad. Because Israeli insurance ecosystem here in Israel is not so important, it's not so big. It's not interesting, the Israeli startups. The main target and market for them is US, and after that Europe. So the barrier for them, the challenge for them, is to build relationship with a global insurance company or local insurance company abroad. So what I first thing that I've built here in Israel for the ecosystem is a bridges to the wall. So it's a two path bridges. So for the startup, cross the rivers or cross the oceans to the bank clients in US and in Europe, and for the US and the European companies, insurance company, to arrive to Israel. So this is the first thing that I've built here. And after I build the trust with these two ecosystems, the Israel InsurTech ecosystem and the insurance world. You know, just a few years ago, I was an insurance agent. I needed to build trust with two different ecosystems that I never been in. So after I build the trust with the startup, who is this insurance guy that traveling around here? And after I build the trust with the insurance people around the world, So I stable the banks, and I build the bridge. So this is the most important thing that I made in the beginning. So building the trust with the ecosystem. This is the first point. The second point for us building the bridge, and then the last thing is empathize all the time. What you are doing, what you are planning, tell the world that you are doing great things, show them that. And the last thing that is very important, it's important to build ecosystem, but it's important for any entrepreneurs and to build ecosystem is like to be entrepreneur, is always keep going forward. Which thing will happen to you? You don't know when and you don't see them now. But if you will keep going forward, you will see them somewhere around the corner. So always keep going and believe in what you are doing. It will happen.
Yeah, you've really got to, and what you've done, you've really got to turn yourself into a trade delegation. You're promoting the country as much as you're promoting the member companies and the people. And so you're really engaging in classic old school hand-to-hand international diplomacy at some level, economic international diplomacy. And so you do have to build a lot of those cross-country connections for sure. Well, Rob, why don't you close us out?
Yeah, Kobe, I just want to first congratulate you on all your success at InsurTech Israel. I actually met you before there was an InsurTech Israel, so I've been privileged enough to kind of see from the ground floor just building it out. And I just think about some of the Israeli startups that I met prior to InsurTech Israel. I mean, it was great and you know, I got to see some of the entrepreneurial spirit and talent firsthand, but yet I just feel like what you've built really just brings that community together, as James was saying, right? And you know, a lot of these companies were kind of trying to, you know, do it on their own, right? And so now they've got partners, they've got friends, and so you've formalized maybe what was an informal community, which has always been kind of a strength and resilience of the Israeli people to help each other out, right? And I think you've just built a tremendous foundation to really accelerate that. So kind of, you know, with that being said, I'm curious kind of what's next on your radar now that you've come so far, you've really formalized a lot, you've got a formula that works. So what's kind of next in terms of where InsurTech Israel is going?
Okay, thank you for asking that. So for the short term, we are focusing right now to assist our early stage startups. So we are going to open in June our first bootcamp here in Israel for our early stage startups. We are even call a lot of startup that operating right now in other industries, but thinking about starting to work in the insurance space to join us to the bootcamp. So it's going to be very interesting bootcamp, 5 weeks of workshops and lectures and events to provide a lot of knowledge and understanding and relationship and connection to our startups with the insurance world and in the global world, in the global insurance industry. So this is for the short term. This is our plans. Of course, in parallel, we operate the roadshow, the delegations, and then the investment side. So all this stuff all together. For the long term, you and James already touched this point. We want to export our success to other regions because we believe that what we have built here in Israel can be a present and can be something very useful to other communities around the world, especially in the third world, like Africa and other places around the world that can use that our skill, know-how, and the relationship that we have built to accelerate them appearance in the insurtech world. I saw a lot of things good happen, a lot of good things happen around, and we for sure will be part of that. So to make insurtech Israel a little bit global and support other communities, especially where there is no insurtech community right now, is our, I think, our next mission.
All right. Well, Kobe, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. It was a good conversation. You know, blessings on the people of Israel and on all your businesses. I hope that it goes really well. I hope you guys can continue to promote your country, your companies, and InsurTech in Israel, and continue to innovate. And excited for what you're doing there. And really appreciate you joining us on the show today when it's so late there for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here, and thank you for your great support. Thank you very much.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today to Geek Out, our interview with Kobe Bendelak from InsurTech Israel. We'll see you next time.
The InsurTech Geek Podcast is all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. I've been your host, James Benham, that's jamesbenham.com, with co-host Rob Galbraith at endofinsurance.com. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech, so enjoy the ride and geek out.